Then her expression changed. She was thinking, perhaps, of that small collection of artifacts in her rooms on Dras Anya station.
You speak the language?
Two of them. There had been more than a dozen. And you know their songs, of course. Her voice was slightly mocking. I didn't have a chance to learn as many as I would have liked.
And if you had been free to choose, would you have refused?
The question is pointless. The choice wasn't presented to me.
I beg to differ, she said, quietly angry at my answer. The choice has always been presented to you.
Garsed was a turning point. It wasn't a direct answer to her accusation, but I couldn't think of what would be a direct answer that she would understand. The first time so many Rajshahi officers came away from an annexation without the certainty that they had done the right thing. Do you still think Mianai controls the Rajshahi through brainwashing or threats of execution? Those are there, they exist, yes. But most Rajshahi, like people most places I've been, do what they're supposed to because they believe it's the right thing to do. No one likes killing people. Striegen made a sardonic noise.
No one?
Not many, I amended. Not enough to fill the Rajshahi's warships. But at the end, after all the blood and grief, all those benighted souls who without us would have suffered in darkness are happy citizens. They'll agree if you ask. It was a fortunate day when Anandar Mianai brought civilization to them.
Would their parents agree? Or their grandparents?
I gestured, halfway between not my problem and not relevant. You were surprised to see me deal gently with a child. It shouldn't have surprised you. Do you think the Rajshahi don't have children, or don't love their children? Do you think they don't react to children the way nearly any human does?
So virtuous.
Virtue is not a solitary, uncomplicated thing. Good necessitates evil, and the two sides of that disc aren't always clearly marked. Virtues may be made to serve whatever end profits you. Still, they exist and will influence your actions, your choices.
Striegen snorted. You make me nostalgic for the drunken philosophical conversations of my youth. But these aren't abstract things we're talking about here. This is life and death.
My chances of getting what I had come for were slipping from my grasp. For the first time, Raj forces dealt death on an unimaginable scale without renewal afterward. Cut off irrevocably any chance of good coming from what they had done. This affected everyone there.
Even the ships?
Everyone. I waited for the next question, or the sardonic, I don't feel sorry for you. But she just sat silent, looking at me. The first attempts at diplomatic contact with the Presger began shortly afterward, as did, I'm fairly certain, the beginnings of the move to replace ancillaries with human soldiers. Only fairly certain because much of the groundwork must have been laid in private behind the scenes.
Why would the Presger get involved with the Garsed? Striegen asked.
She could certainly see my reaction to her question, nearly a direct admission that she had the gun. Had to know, had to have known before she spoke, what that admission would tell me. She wouldn't have asked that question if she hadn't seen the gun, examined it closely. Those guns had come from the Presger. The Garsedai had dealt with the aliens, whoever had made the first overture. So much we got from the captured representatives. But I kept my face still. Who knows why the Presger do anything? But Anander Mianai asked herself the same question. Why did the Presger interfere? It wasn't because they wanted anything the Garcetti had. They could have reached out and taken whatever they wanted. Though I knew the Presger had made the Garcetti pay, and heavily. And what if the Presger decided to destroy the Roch? Truly to destroy it? And the Presger had such weapons.
You're saying, said Striegen, disbelieving, appalled, that the Presger set the Garcetti up in order to compel Anander Mianai to negotiate.
I am speaking of Mianai's reaction, Mianai's motives. I don't know or understand the Presger. But I imagine if the Presger meant to compel anything, it would be unmistakable, unsubtle. I think it was meant merely as a suggestion, if indeed that had anything to do with their actions.
All of that, a suggestion.
They're aliens. Who can understand them?
Nothing you can do, she said after 5 seconds of silence, can possibly make any difference.
That's probably true.
Probably.
If everyone who had...
I searched for the right words.
If everyone who objected to the destruction of the Garcetti had refused, what would have happened?
Striegen frowned. How many refused?
4.
4? Out of?
Out of thousands. Each justice alone in those days had hundreds of officers along with its captain. And dozens of us had been there. Add the smaller crude mercies and swords. Loyalty, the long habit of obedience, a desire for revenge, even, yes, those 4 deaths kept anyone else from such a drastic choice.
There were enough of your sort to deal with even everyone refusing.
I said nothing, waited for the change of expression that would tell me she had thought twice about what she had just said. When it came, I said, I think it might have turned out differently.
You're not one of thousands, Striegen leaned forward, unexpectedly vehement.
Savardin started out of her sleep, looked at Striegen, alarmed and bleary.
There are no others on the edge of choosing, Striegen said. No one to follow your lead. And even if there were, you by yourself wouldn't be enough. If you even get as far as facing Mianai, facing one of Mianai's bodies, you'll be alone and helpless. You'll die without achieving anything.
She made a breathy, impatient sound.
Take your money.
She gestured toward my pack, leaning against the bench I sat on.
Buy land, buy rooms on a station, hell, buy a station. Live the life that was denied you. Don't sacrifice yourself for nothing.
Which me are you talking to? I asked. Which life that was denied me do you intend I live? Should I send you monthly reports so you can be sure my choices meet with your approval? That silenced her for a full 20 seconds. Breck, said Savardin, as though testing the sound of the name in her mouth. I want to leave. Soon, I answered. Be patient. To my utter surprise, she didn't object, but leaned back against a bench and put her arms around her knees. Striegen looked speculatively at her for a moment, then turned to me.
I need to think.
I gestured acknowledgement, and she rose and went into her room and shut the door. What's her problem? Asked Savardin, apparently innocent of irony. Voice just slightly contemptuous. I didn't answer, only looked at her, not changing my expression. The blankets had marked a line across her cheek, fading now, and her clothes, the Nilter trousers, and quilted shirt under the unfastened inner coat,
were wrinkled and disheveled. In the past several days of regular food and no kef, her skin had regained a slightly healthier-looking color, but she still looked thin and tired. "Why are you bothering with her?" she asked me, undisturbed by my scrutiny, as though something had shifted and she and I were suddenly comrades, fellows. Surely not equals, not ever. "Business I need to attend to." More explanation would be useless, or foolish, or both. "Are you having trouble sleeping?" Something subtle in her expression communicated withdrawal, closure. I wasn't on her side anymore. She sat silent for 10 seconds, and I thought she wouldn't speak to me any more that night, but instead she drew a long breath and let it out. "Yeah, I need to move around. I'm going to go outside." Something had definitely changed, but I didn't know quite what it was or what had caused it. "It's night," I said, "and very cold. Take your outer coat and gloves and don't go too far." She gestured acquiescence, and even more astonishingly, put on her outer coat and gloves before going out the 2 doors without a single bitter word or even a resentful glance. And what did I care? She would wander off and freeze, or she wouldn't. I arranged my own blankets and lay down to sleep, without waiting to see if Savardin came back safe or not. When I woke, Savardin was asleep on her own pile of blankets. She hadn't thrown her coat on the floor, but instead hung it beside the others on a hook near the door. I rose and went to the cupboard to find she had also replenished the food stores. More bread and a bowl on the table holding a block of slushy, slowly melting milk, another beside it holding a chunk of bove fat. Behind me, Stregan's door clicked open. I turned. "He wants something," she said to me quietly. Savardin didn't stir. "Or anyway, there's some angle he's playing. I wouldn't trust him if I were you." "I don't." I dropped a hunk of bread in a bowl of water and set it aside to soften. "But I do wonder what's come over her." Stregan looked amused. "Him," I amended.
"Probably the thought of all the money you're carrying," observed Stregan. "You could buy a lot of kef with that."
"If that's the case, it's not a problem. It's all for paying you. Except my fare back up the ribbon, and a bit more for emergencies, which in this case would probably mean Savardin's fare as well."
"What happens to addicts in the Roch?"
"There aren't any." She raised one eyebrow and then another, disbelieving. "Not on the stations," I amended. "You can't get too far down that road with the station AI watching you all the time. On a planet, that's different. It's too big for that. Even then, once you get to the point where you're not functioning, you're re-educated and usually sent away somewhere else."
"So as not to embarrass."
"For a new start. New surroundings, new assignment. And if you arrived from somewhere very far away to take some job nearly anyone could have filled, everyone knew why that was, though no one would be so gauche as to say it within your hearing. It bothers you that the Rodchai don't have the freedom to destroy their lives or other citizens' lives."
"I wouldn't have put it that way."
"No, of course not." She leaned against the doorframe, folded her arms.
"For someone who wants a favor, an incredibly, unspeakably huge and dangerous favor at that, you're unexpectedly adversarial."
One-handed, I gestured, "It is as it is."
"But then, dealing with him makes you angry."
She tilted her head in Savardin's general direction. Understandably, I think.